Well, happy Easter to all of you. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We have that Easter joy with us. And I just want to begin by just extending a warm welcome. Often on Christmas and Easter, we have people that will often come visit. And so my name is Father John Stang. And just on behalf of the Cathedral of Our Lady Guadalupe, I want to welcome you if you're just visiting from somewhere else. Or maybe if you're someone who only attends Mass every so often. In that case, we hope and pray that we see you a little bit more often, but we're certainly glad that you're here to rejoice with us in the Lord's resurrection today. St. John Henry Newman, who was a 19th century convert to Catholicism, he was an Anglican clergyman, and he famously converted to Catholicism after trying to reform the Anglican liturgy. He wanted to study the Catholic faith and try and make it look more Catholic. And as he was studying, he studied his way right into Catholicism, which often happens to people when they study about the Catholic faith. And eventually, not only did he convert to the Catholic faith, but he was ordained to the Catholic priesthood and eventually became a cardinal, and is very much known for his writings and his homilies. And in one of his sermons, he said this: "It would seem then that our Lord gave his attention to a few, because if the few be gained, the many will follow. If the few be gained, the many will follow." Jesus Christ did not appear to large crowds or even to large groups of people after his resurrection. He really just only appeared to a few. And that's a very curious fact about why Christ would do that. If this is the thing that is the hinge point of his salvific work on earth and the proof of who he is, then why would he not appear to more people? Why did he not just burst out of the sky or appear in a town or village where there were lots of people and proclaiming this fact that he had risen from the dead? Jesus was certainly no stranger to crowds in his ministry. He preached to them. He performed miracles in front of them. He did it all the time in the Gospels, and even ones that are not recorded. Why not have his resurrection from the dead, arguably his greatest miracle, be more public? It's because if the few be gained, the many will follow. So who are these few that the Lord appeared to? We hear them referred to as witnesses, both in our first reading and also in our gospel reading. So who are these witnesses exactly, and why to them specifically? Mary Magdalene, John the Apostle, and Peter, Simon Peter. These are the first three witnesses who come to the tomb. And a case could be made that all three of these witnesses, Mary Magdalene, John, and Peter, represent the birth of the early church. Now, we often think of the birth of the church at Pentecost, which is 50 days from now at the end of Easter. And there's actually multiple points that we could point to in Scripture where we could see that the church is being born. And all of those would be correct. I won't go into all of those now. But often when we look at the birth of the church or the founding of the church, we often look at it as a separate event from the resurrection. We look at it as, well, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus over here, and then just this corporate entity just comes, known as the church, over here. We kind of treat them as if they're separate events. But in fact, when you have what you have are these three people actually showing different aspects of the church that are really coming into being here. Mary Magdalene kind of represents a couple of different things. She represents the feminine of the church, along with Mary, the mother of God, who Mary Magdalene is the first person to go and see that something has happened, right, to witness over the resurrection. And the church in herself is really feminine in nature. That's why we refer to the church as Holy Mother Church. She is our mother. Jesus gives us the gift of his mother to us on the cross when he tells the beloved disciple, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." And the church also gives birth to souls. We just saw last night at the Easter Vigil that there were many that received the sacraments of initiation, of baptism, confirmation, and First Holy Communion. They received that grace of, and that life of coming in to the church. And Mary Magdalene, in a way, who also followed Jesus throughout his ministry and really received from him, really represents that. Mary Magdalene also represents the healing that can come about in the church, that all of us are really in need of healing. She represents sinners, in a sense. She had seven demons cast out of her, and out of that she had a conversion. And all of us are in need of that conversion. And so Mary Magdalene is the first person we meet. Then Mary Magdalene runs into John and Peter. And they both immediately run to the tomb. And John runs faster than Peter. It's believed that John may have been a teenager, while Peter was older, maybe middle-aged. So it made more sense that John might run a little bit faster. But eventually they both get there. And John arrives first. And part of the reason John also runs faster is because of his zeal. But even though he has this zeal, he gets there quicker, he allows Peter to enter the tomb first. He shows deference to Peter. They both see the burial cloths that are removed. They're rolled up in a separate place. And it was not done hastily, or they're not torn away. They're not completely gone. It doesn't look like Jesus' body was stolen or taken away. Instead, they're nice and neat and ordered and orderly placed. And Jesus would have been wrapped very tightly in these burial clothes. Probably some kind of an adhesive, kind of a mummy-like, you might imagine. So it would have been very hard to be able to get these burial cloths off. And this indicates that there is something ordered, something proper, something miraculous that has happened here. And when John sees, he enters and believes. So what we see here in John is the mystical side of the church, which often comes out in his gospel. And Simon Peter is the hierarchical side of the church, being the first pope, given the keys to the kingdom by our Lord. And we need both in the church. We need the mystical to be able to see the revealed truth, to encounter it. We also need the hierarchical side of the church, which receives that, but also receives the charism that Jesus wanted to provide in the hierarchy. So you have Mary Magdalene, the feminine, and the conversion of sinners. John the Apostle, the mystic, and Simon Peter, the hierarchical of the church. These become the church's first witnesses to Christ's resurrection. If the few be gained, the many will follow. So what does all this mean for us? Why does all this information matter? Well, we are the inheritors of that witness. We are receiving the good news in the Word of God, that we may pass on and proclaim that good news to others, that we may proclaim that salvation to all the world. And like them, we have to first have an encounter with the Lord. The late Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote in his Jesus of Nazareth series that encounter is mission. That's a profound statement. Encounter is mission. And that was so important to the origins of the early church, both here and then as the church continues to develop. And it's important for us because we also have to have an encounter. Now, how do we know if we had an encounter with the Lord? We can ask several questions. We can ask, do I have a relationship with the Lord in my daily life? Do I pray to him daily? Do I talk to him about different aspects of my life? Do I rely on him? Do I see him as important? Or do I just see it as about attending Mass on Sunday? It's just an obligation, check the box, and then move forward, as important as attending Sunday Mass is for us. But we also have to have that encounter with the Lord to be able to truly know him. So that way we can share that with others. And if it's something we haven't had yet, then of course we have that encounter at every Holy Mass by receiving the Most Holy Eucharist and receive him body, blood, soul, and divinity. If we have not experienced that encounter or truly know the Lord, then we should ask that for that grace. It's worth asking for. And the day of the Lord's resurrection is one of the best days to be able to do that. However, there's something else that can actually rob us of our Easter joy. You notice on Easter we sing Alleluia a lot. There's a real joyful presence about Easter. But sometimes in our faith journey, we can get discouraged. We can get discouraged by a lack of faith. We can see a lack of, we can see small numbers in the church at mass attendance, Easter Sunday probably being a bit of an exception to that. We can see people falling away, those within our friends and family who don't accept the good news, shrinking of parish groups, all of those different things can be very disheartening and discouraging. We have a wonderful and beautiful message, yet people don't receive it. Yet in those small numbers is what the Lord began with in his resurrection. He began with a few so that many would follow. And we are that few. We have to be that light of the world to be able to go out and share that good news with others. And we can be confident that our message has a power because it comes from God. And what is that message exactly? Well, it just so happens that in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter gives a very arousing speech to a few of the early Christian witnesses. And his message is this. First, he tells us who Jesus is. That Jesus was baptized by John, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. He healed those oppressed by the devil, died on a tree, raised on the third day, and witnessed not by all people, but to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. That's who Jesus is. And who he chose is us, all of us here, all of you here, to be those witnesses. And then after Peter explains who Jesus is, he then delivers the mission. And this is our mission, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Wow, that's a powerful message. Through this basic message, this basic proclamation of the gospel, Peter proclaimed to a small group of witnesses Christ's salvific work that many might be saved. And that's our call. We should pray for that desire that people may experience the freedom and healing and love of God in their life, that we may first have that encounter with the risen Lord and then go out and share it with others so they may experience that wonderful power that is afforded to us by Christ's resurrection, even if it may be just small and few in numbers. Those small few numbers can be very powerful, because if we share it with others, we know that Christ chose us, because with the few, the many will be saved.